From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. On today's program, Dr. Cairns continues a series of studies explaining the basic teachings of each of the books in the New Testament. He will conclude an overview of 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. 1st John forms the last of the general epistles. 2nd and 3rd John are short letters which serve to illustrate the main argument of the first epistle, although they each have their own particular emphasis. 1st John is mainly concerned with tests of true Christianity and ways that believers in Jesus Christ may be assured of their salvation. True Christians have fellowship with God in Christ, a fellowship which reveals that the believer and God have something in common. The Savior and his people are graciously united, sharing in his merits. In addition, true believers have the Holy Spirit abiding in them, teaching and guiding them. Another valuable aspect of John's first epistle is its emphasis on godliness, which may be summarized simply as Christlikeness. In conclusion, we'll see that living the Christian life in the power of the Holy Spirit produces great confidence in the believer, enabling him to live victoriously for the Lord. Dr. Cairns will be with us shortly to conclude this message entitled, Christian Profession Tested and Proved. First, we invite you to enjoy this brief devotional thought found in C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is called Light in Darkness. The text is 2 Samuel chapter 22 and verse 29. For thou art my lamp, O Lord, and the Lord will lighten my darkness. Am I in the light? Then thou, O Lord, art my lamp. Take thee away, and my joy would be gone. But as long as thou art with me, I can do without the torches of time and the candles of created comfort. What a light the presence of God casts on all things! We heard of a lighthouse which could be seen for 20 miles. But our Jehovah is not only a God at hand, but far off is he seen, even in the enemy's country. O Lord, I am as happy as an angel when thy love fills my heart. Thou art all my desire. Am I in the dark? Then thou, O Lord, wilt lighten my darkness. Before long, things will change. Affairs may grow more and more dreary, and cloud may be piled upon cloud. But if it grows so dark that I cannot see my own hand, still I shall see the hand of the Lord. When I cannot find a light within me, or among my friends, or in the whole world, the Lord, who said, Let there be light, and there was light, can say the same again. He will speak me into the sunshine yet. I shall not die, but live. The day is already breaking. This sweet text shines like a morning star. I shall clap my hands for joy ere many hours are past.
When
As you hear in the introduction to these broadcasts, Let the Bible Speak seeks to present Christ in all His fullness. Are you seeking to present the gospel of Jesus Christ to some loved one, some neighbor, or someone with whom you work? We're pleased to offer you a booklet by Dr. Alan Cairns that is an excellent evangelistic tool. It's entitled, The Gospel of Salvation, Full, Free, and Final. In this little book, Dr. Cairns finds a balance between those who admire the message but keep it to themselves, and those who, in their haste to present the gospel, do not take time to examine its true content, and therefore never really present it in its beauty and fullness. Dr. Cairns understands the gospel, as it is presented by Christ, to be the fullness of God, and he presents it freely to all who will believe. Furthermore, he explains that the salvation declared in the gospel, once received and experienced, is final. The believer is kept by the power of God, and nothing can separate him from the love of God. For a free copy of The Gospel of Salvation, just contact us. You may write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may email your request to ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Ask for The Gospel of Salvation, Full, Free, and Final by Alan Cairns.
A way whereby we know that we are saved and can assure our hearts. Let me sum it all up very quickly, since time does not permit us to go through all those verses. Chapter 3, verse 18 and 19. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before Him. Now watch this very carefully. This is how we know when what we say we believe is expressed by what we do and how we live. When our faith produces works. When our profession produces Christ-likeness. When fellowship with God produces Christ-likeness of life, then that Christ-likeness of life gives us the right to say the Spirit bears witness that we are the sons of God. And we can assure our hearts before Him. But do you see the other side of that? A man says, I'm a Christian. I remember the night I made a decision for Christ. I remember the day I joined the church. I remember when I was baptized. I'm a Christian. But I've been living all these years in sin. Sin is the habit of my life. I'm a Christian, but all my life is the life of an ungodly man. Listen, my friend, I cannot read any man's heart, but I can say a man who is living like that has no right to claim the comfort of the promises of the gospel. The place for that man is on his face before God to cry for a conviction of sin that will break his heart and lead him to true repentance. And when he's in fellowship with God, it will produce holiness of life. And when God produces holiness of life, then you can conclude that you're in Christ. This is the very same message as the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. If any man be in Christ, there's nobody in Christ but that he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things are become new. If you look in 2 Corinthians 5 carefully, you'll find that affects the way he thinks. He can never think the way he thought before he was a Christian. That's not to say that evil thoughts cannot attack his mind. But it is to say that the governing method of thinking can never be the same again once a man has come to Christ. It also affects not only the way he thinks, but the way he lives. He can never live as he lived before he was a Christian. That's again not to say that he can't feel or fall, but it is to say that the governance of his life is changed. He's a new creature in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is godliness, Christ-likeness, that gives us a well-grounded hope and assurance of salvation. Now, of course, this is not meant to degenerate into the bondage of morbid introspection. In chapter 3, verse 20, let's go on to read. If our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. You see, even when you're saved, the apostle is saying, there are times when your conscience will condemn you. This is spoken for our comfort. Some people take this to say, well, if your own heart condemns you, you're in real trouble before God because God is greater than your heart. I don't think that's the meaning at all. I think this is a message of comfort to true believers. There are times when your heart condemns you, but God is greater than your heart. God sees all things. God not only sees the thing in which you have failed, he also sees that he has put within you his Spirit. He sees that he has united you to Christ. He sees that he has invested you with the righteousness of Christ. He has given you the merits of Christ. He sees not only your failure, but he sees the overall work of grace by which he's bringing you to heaven. God is greater than your heart. You see, our ultimate confidence and assurance is not in how we live. It's in Christ who enables us to live at all for him. This is not to be a morbid introspection that you get back on, well, I'll get to heaven if I work well enough. No, that has nothing to do with the gospel. It is to point us to Christ, to point us to grace, to point us to trust in the Savior, knowing that he who has given us fellowship with God has thereby produced holiness of life. He has made us new creatures. And that is his guarantee that we can assure our hearts that we're ready for heaven. The final thing, and very quickly, that assurance produces confidence to enjoy our fellowship with God in victory over the world. Let me quickly read you two or three texts. Chapter 3 again, verse 21. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. In chapter 5, in verse 14, you've got a similar statement. This is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. Now, here's our confidence. Notice the thought, and again, I will repeat it so that you get exactly how John has reached this place. Christ has led us into fellowship with God. That fellowship produces holiness, godliness, Christ-likeness of life. That godliness of life yields the peaceable fruit of assurance of eternal salvation. And when you're sure you're saved, when you're sure of your interest in Christ, that breeds confidence to enjoy fellowship with God in the secret place. When we come to God to pray, we do not come as people who are merely crying in the dark. We come with confidence. We come with the confidence that He hears His people. We come with the confidence that He who has bred within us a desire to live in a godly fashion and to live in the enjoyment of fellowship with Him will satisfy that desire. He will hear us. And when we lift up our hearts to Him according to His will, He will grant our petitions. My, what a difference it makes to your prayer life when you are possessed with the confidence that God gives the people who are assured of His grace. But you know, when you're in that, in this life, seeking to live for God and enjoy fellowship with Him, there are real battles. The devil's against you. I've already referred to the fact that the wicked one is very strong in this world, and that the whole world around us lies in the lap of wickedness. So what are we to do? Well, John says in 1 John chapter 5, verses 4 and 5, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? You see, we have confidence to live in fellowship with God. We have confidence to live in faith in the world. We have confidence to live in victory over sin and over Satan. This is what John meant in 3 John verse 2 when he spoke to Gaius about his soul prospering. Your soul is prospering when it's in fellowship with God. And that fellowship is making you holy. And that holiness gives you the ground of assurance. And that assurance gives you confidence to live before God in fellowship and before men in victory. This is that eternal life already within us, ready to spring forth into glory itself. This is that faith that saves. This is that fellowship that sanctifies. Now remember, everything else is only a deception. Everything else leads to perdition. Everything else is anti-Christianity. I want to ask you this morning, have you Christ? Or have you followed an antichrist? Are you in light or are you in darkness? Have you the spirit of truth or are you still sunk in error? Have you entered into fellowship with God on the basis of Christ's work? Or are you still deceiving yourself that you'll go to heaven on the merit of your own work? It's very, very important that you make sure you are saved. It's very important also, if you profess to be saved, that you understand that that profession must be probed and proved by the word of truth. And if your profession leaves you in love with the world and all its darkness, it's an empty profession. For if any man love the world, 1 John 2 says, the love of the Father is not in him. Make sure that you don't only say you have fellowship with God, but that you actually know biblically what it is to be in fellowship with God, walking in the light, knowing the ever-cleansing virtue and value of the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Let's all pray. Father in heaven, bless thy word, we pray. We do thank thee for the Lord Jesus. We thank thee, our God, for the reality of fellowship with him. We bless thee, our God, that those who are in Christ have that intimate union with himself, and we shall be in fellowship with thee for all eternity. Bless God, nothing in heaven, earth, or hell can separate thy people from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Remember those who are not saved. Remember those who have fooled themselves by means of a religion that has never had any impact upon their lives. Remember those, O God, who have deceived themselves by a religion of fair words. O God, have mercy upon them all today and bring them to the Savior. Encourage thy people. Save the lost. Restore the backslidden. Revive thy church in its enjoyment of fellowship with God in victory over the world. Hear our prayer and part us with thy very richest blessing. Be our abiding portion, both this day and until our Lord Jesus either calls us home or comes again in all his glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.